Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, very good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wardy. All thanks to National Tiles. You can save this end of financial year with National Tiles. Also save up to $1,250 during the National Tiles end of year financial year event. Limited time only. Go and have a look at that, National Tiles. Welcome to the great man, Malcolm Blight. We had the long weekend. Blighty, we saw Port Adelaide. Seems a long while ago now, last Thursday. They fell short, and the Crows, after one of the worst halves of footy, I think, one of the worst games of footy I've seen in Cairns. So slippery up there. They produced a remarkable effort to get up on the basically in the last minute. Fantastic.
Yeah, hi, David. Yeah, it seemed to go forever that round, didn't it? I mean, it was, some interesting footy. Can I just say, I'll go to the Crows game first. I've only got one word for the whole game: accidental. Someone was accidentally going to win that game. Because there was no, it looked to me as just a mismatch of everything, and particularly St Kilda in the last quarter, the last 10 minutes. How they were going to score with Crows players sitting well behind the ball and everyone down, I mean, they just kicked it straight back.
They just tried to hang on, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get, I mean, that to me is against my principles in the game of trying to win the game. Now, I know sometimes you can actually chip it round, but when you have 35 players just in the inside 50, it's a game of accident, yeah, isn't it? St Kilda are never going to get it out because there's no one else to kick it to.
That's Brett Ratten's fault, surely, the coach.
Oh, well, yeah.
Keep someone home.
Yeah, of course. Even if you keep one back, two back. I mean, give the guys a chance. Now, it was always going to be accidental. It was going to be an accidental free, accidental mark or a lucky kick. And as it turned out, it was a brilliant kick from the youngster, Thilthorpe. So I just don't reckon games should be won with accidents. And that's all it was. The whole game was a bit of an accident.
I nearly turned it off at half time. We're up at the river. Yeah. And then I put it back on. And then you could sense the Crows were coming. I thought they went all through the last quarter because, like, say, St Kilda couldn't score.
Well, they can't
trying
score.
To score.
When you got no forward, how do you get it there?
Yeah.
And I mean, I just don't get the logic of that. And I don't want. See, because what actually happens is, in that congested area, no one can get a free kick. No one can almost take a mark. It is just accident after accident after accident, and something will happen. I just would eliminate that and keep someone forward for the least.
Yeah, I heard Rowie on the sports show, and the phones are going berserk in the Dave McKay incident.
Yep.
I sort of agree with Rowie. I think we've had this football. This has been a football collision for years, and Dave McKay is probably one of the most cleanest, fairest players, if you like. I've never seen David McKay do that. He went in 100 mile an hour, increased his intensity, and it was, you know, a lot of courage too for two guys going at it. But I do fear that he probably will get 2 or 3 weeks. The other lad's broken his jaw in multiple places. Doesn't make it right. And this is my thing with the AFL. They constantly change the rules. Not just on penalties, but the game, Blighty, to open it up, to do this, to no other sport does it.
Hey, I disagree with that. Open the game up because it's a congested mess most of the time. I think there was some.
They're opening the game up because coaches won't. They're playing defensively. But what other game? You could put all your men back in soccer. I mean, cricket, you can have everyone on the boundary. They don't change the rules for that.
Yes, they do. They do now.
How?
You can't. They can't now. You can't put all the blokes on the boundary now in the one-day game.
Test cricket, you can.
No, you can't. You've got to have two behind square, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean? They've changed rules.
I think
they've all changed rules.
So how do you see Dave McKay?
It is so hard. I don't envy anyone that makes an assessment of this. It is a shocking thing that a lad's ended up with a broken jaw.
Not broken his jaw, would he have been cited at all?
That's a really good question, because the umpire didn't give a free kick, did he?
No, he didn't.
No, David, I need to sit there, and I have an opinion on it. I think it's footy. Deep down, I think it's footy. But is that the footy that we're getting now? Is that the rules that we're playing under now? Every head knock, don't forget how this all started. Concussions and, I guess, people prosecuting the AFL for going back with concussion or getting concussion. So they've got to be seen to be doing everything possible.
But that's our game. We've always played under those rules.
I reckon what you suggested one day is that if you're going to have to sign something, you're going to have to
a
sign
waiver.
A waiver.
I think it will come in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, AFL will go bust.
Yeah.
You look at the NFL, they're all getting head injuries. Rugby, we saw three three star rugby players over the weekend. The third one, Boyd Cordner, he's retired. He's 29. He's a star.
Yeah, I know.
Gone. So if you want your kids to play, I think you will have to sign a waiver.
Can I just, and just, we've got a call coming, but I just want to say this first off. The congestion, right, and I haven't said this before, has created more injuries than you've ever seen. How many foot injuries with feet getting, or knees getting caught under blokes tackling? Yeah. We've become part of a tackling machine, and we're not built like the rugby league players that are tackling machines, right? We're leaner, much, much leaner build, so therefore those injuries are going to happen. We've, somehow or other, David, we've got to get this more congestion. I know this wasn't the case in Mackay, but I think if you look at all the injuries, the knees and the ankles and the feet and the shoulders, nearly 90% of them would be tackling.
Yeah, I think Butters and Dersma were done in a tackle, both of them.
If you look at all that, it has become a tackling sport. Now, running head on, and you know what? I'll say this. We were taught to turn our body no matter where you went to the ball, no matter where you went. Is that right?
Yep.
They don't do it all the time now.
But Dave Mackay was going after the ball, though, no doubt.
Yeah.
And it happened to be someone there, and he got him beautifully. But it's a sad day in the game, I think, Bloody, if you're going to take everything out of the game. Are you just going to get rid of the bump full stop? Well, you cannot bump into anyone.
Well, the bump's sort of out of the game anyhow, isn't it?
Well, it is, but that was a bump. It ended up being a bump.
Yeah, it was a front-on.
He bumped his head.
Yeah, front-on bump.
Yeah. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
G'day, guys. Just before I say what I want to say, I think the AFL's biggest problem is the 19th team, as I've said before, the boys in grey suits, who go out on the field with shiny shoes and grey suits. But what I noticed is, did you notice in the game with the Crows and the St Kilda, St Kilda would go and mark the ball where the Crows would actually looked like they were going to mark it, but they pushed the ball down to the ground for someone else to feed off of. That's what it looked like to me. They weren't going to mark it. They were just going to go and push it down to the ground.
Maybe it's very slippery, Andrew, up there in Cairns.
Yeah,
maybe
I understand that, mate.
Yeah. Maybe that's a ploy. Get it to the ground.
Yeah, no, I must say, Andrew, I didn't notice it as much as probably what you did, but the old theory of very, very slippery days is use flat hands. So when you go to the ball, you don't go in your normal grip. You go down flat hands and put the ball to ground. I didn't see that as a main thing, but not to say that didn't happen.
I think Brett Ratton's coaching in the second half was awful. You know, I think he felt he could just hang on. I know they missed a couple of shots too, but
they did kick points. But the issue was, how can you score if you've got no one there?
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Hi, Danny. How are you? Are you there, Danny?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha,
mate.
Okay. I wanted to add that I think what the AFL are trying to say is that player welfare is more important than a game of footy, and player welfare extends to the whole of the person's life. So they're just trying to make it really clear that that's the case, and they're going to change the game until. And, you know, while that's a priority.
Yeah, and Danny, it's hard to argue with it, isn't it? It is so hard to argue, you know, with the people that have gone now, you know, like Graham Farmer.
Well, they won't get insurance.
No.
The more people that get head knocks, AFL are going to struggle to be insured. And that's why I think the only reason a waiver could come in, you have to expect some sort of physical contact, body playing Australian rules, or you go and play, open the batting for Australia, there's a fair chance you get hit in the head. Now, I know you've got a helmet.
Yeah, of course.
But you could be killed. We've seen Philip Hughes killed. There's always incidents where you can, rugby players have broken their necks. That's part of it. Whether you like it or not, it still is part of it.
Is the word duty of care, I mean, which has really become a modern term, hasn't it? It certainly didn't happen in our day. And it's only been of recent years we've heard the word duty of care. You know, everyone in the workplace has the same phrase, duty of care in the workplace.
Yeah.
That's every human being that works.
And the same when you and I started work, the health and safety, there's virtually none. Now it's all health and safety.
Yeah, so the world's gone that way. I mean, AFL footy sounds as though it's gone that way. Hi, we've got Warren. Hi, Warren. Are you there?
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Warren.
Good, good. Just what annoys me about the whole thing is It's not the incident, it's the result of it. So the guy would, hypothetically, let's look on a hypothetical, I can kick the ball and falcon somebody and break their nose.
Yep.
Does that get me 3 weeks off? Now, it's the same thing here. This was quite the legal bump, was not re-put on the ground, but because of the result
the
of it...
The consequence, yeah.
The consequence of the actions, I think it's a little bit... Yes, there's a fine line, I know, but it's always the consequence of the action was a perfect action. Kicking of the ball is a perfect action. When the two ruckmen go up together, that's a perfect action. But if someone gets brutally injured in that, they're reported for it because it's a consequence or the result of an incident.
Yeah, but what, 2 weeks ago, Holman, the West Gold Coast lad, did tackled that tackle.
Duncan,
and gave him concussion. Now, that nothing he was let off.
Well, I thought it was a great tackle. I really thought it was a great tackle.
So
what, that consequence. Yeah, no.
I mean, that's where I've got confused. I always thought it was exactly that. The consequences are going to get you in trouble. But when the Holman thing happened, I thought, hang on, this is a bit different to what I thought
sort
it would be.
Sort of if you need someone on the head going for a mark.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the game, isn't it, flying? Yeah, you would have been out of a job if you couldn't fly for the mark and put your knee in someone's head.
Well, it was never my job, David. We actually had another job. I played footy. That's what we all did.
I thought Taylor Walker's double-handed punch or fist, if you like, on the St Kilda defender was worse than D-Mac. D-Mac's was a footy collision, which we've seen.
He's got 3,000.
1,000 of them.
Yeah, 1,000 for that. Mark. Hi, Mark. You want to talk about the Cairns conditions?
Yes. You know, I was thinking, when the boys were going up from the Crows, when you think you like to wet the football nice and soaky wet and train under those conditions knowing that's what's going to happen there?
Well, they trained in the rain, didn't they?
You know what I actually used to use? I don't know if you've heard me say this before, Mark, but I actually, on the wet days, I wouldn't use water on the balls. I'd actually get some Johnson's baby oil and make it really slippery. So you keep on dipping in the oil so that when you did the warm-up inside, you actually, you know, it was very hard to handle.
Yeah, I think night footy in Cairns is very slippery. But I think they did have, last week, they had the rain and they actually trained through a heavy shower, which is different sort of slipperiness, I reckon, though, sometimes.
Well, I'll say it again. We've got to find something for the ball, the external layer of the ball, that is the outside of the ball. We've got to find a substance. We can put a Tonka toy on Mars, and yet we can't put a substance on the ball to keep a little bit of water
off.
I don't
mind your little dimply sort of thing.
Yeah, dimplies.
Yeah. Doug, how are you?
Yeah, good day, guys. Just on the David McKay incident, everyone talks about the workplace. We got to make the workplace safe.
Yep.
Unfortunately, concussion and head knocks are part of AFL footy. I think you need to change the game, and then we'd have a completely different game to completely take that out of it. But it's all about risk and reward. Like, if you're a first fix carpenter out on the building site working all through summer, you know that you're out in the sun all day. Like, a skin specialist wouldn't want you to do that. As a brain doctor doesn't want you to play football. And it's the same as every industry. I'm a boilermaker welder, and the amount of workmates I've got that have got sore backs and retire early and all that sort of thing because of that, it's just everything has its consequences.
Yep.
So if you want to play footy, you got to deal with the consequences. And I played amateur footy for a few years, and I understood what I was doing. That's the risk you got to take, unfortunately.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah. Bloody, I got... What was it, 1987? 100 metres off the ball, got picked up, speared in the ground, head first, broke my shoulder about three places. There was nothing, not even investigation. So times have changed.
Yes, I have.
Let's do the Sandfall too.
Yeah, Sandfall update. Thanks to Amy, who supports Sandfall Community Football. Amy does.
Yep.
The SANFL, Sandfall Premier Partner Amy, supports footy clubs across South Australia. Who loves community footy? Amy does, and so does everybody else.
Eagles beat Port 101-41. Some big numbers there too for the Eagles. They were very good. So we both tipped them, I think. The one we got wrong, Crows beat Sturt.
Just by 10 points at Unley Oval. Yeah, and Glenelg remain undefeated. How good are they going? beat your North Adelaide team, and Liam McBean had 5 goals too. Matty Snook is a good player, isn't he? 34 disposals.
I think North were pretty good except for about a 20-minute passage there. They were in the game for a long while. And the Redlegs beat South Adelaide.
That was
Joel Cross's turn of the game.
Yeah, it was,
75-66, so well done there. A couple of things before we go to the break. We've got Alan Didak to talk about Nathan Buckley. I don't reckon they were in the same circle of friends, though, were they? Didak and Bucks.
Poles apart,
he's a part of the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
Well done to Tyson Edwards' son, Luke. I thought played a terrific game.
Going for the Eagles,
27 possessions in his second game. And Riley Filthorpe, rising star. Oh, well done.
He was, and I've got to mention it, Novak Djokovic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I've got my now. Federer and Nadal got 20 Grand Slams, and after the French win, Novak has 19.
And coming. With an arrow up.
He's coming with a big arrow.
He's a superstar. Back with more shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned. Made for Adelaide.
Alan Didak, not far away. He was a Collingwood star, too little left footer. But player of the round, it had to be Jeremy Cameron.
Sure.
He almost single-handedly beat Port Adelaide. 5 goals, 19 touches. And they beat Port Adelaide by, 21 points, yeah. All that for expert car service. You can rely on visit repcoservice.com. What'd you make of Port?
I thought their midfield was just down a bit and didn't give quite the opportunity. And I thought some of their kicking. In fact, Alirelia has had a really good season. I thought just had, one of those days.
He's dropped down a bit.
Yeah, he has.
I think the defence, Darcy Byrne-Jones has been very quiet.
Yeah.
Hartlett's been dropped.
Yeah.
I think Port Adelaide have so many halfback flankers, though, about 14 of them. They need perhaps a few more midfielders.
Yeah, Butters and Dersmer out. That pace and speed through there. I mean, Connor Rosie was good, obviously, 4 goals in the first quarter. Star. So he was back in a bit of form. But I just thought their midfield was down.
Yeah.
Just didn't quite use the ball from the back. I thought they missed
Lyset back this week.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Just the other thing. You know, normally we do a Kia top 7 on the game after, but I've got a special one tomorrow night. Oh. I've got some more work to do on it, and I'll do it tomorrow night for you.
Who wins this week, Port or Gold Coast? In Gold Coast.
I'd say Port Adelaide will win that. Gold Coast have really just been disappointing.
Well, tomorrow we're going to go through their draw. I know it's only on paper, can win 8 of their next 9. If you look at the draw, it's probably the best draw out of anyone. They played a lot of the tough teams, so that'll be interesting. And the Crows have got 5 wins. Could they get 8 or 9 wins?
Could do.
Could they make the 8?
Well, could they make the 9th?
Could they make... Matthew Nix could be one of the coaches of the year, Blighty.
Yeah, I've always said there's a few. Every year there's a few that could get that.
Yeah, okay. Booking at Lefevre Auto Repairs in Osborne, your local Repco authorised service centre. We are taking a quick break. On the other side, Alan Didak is going to give us all the goss on Nathan Buckley.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned. Made for Adelaide.
Welcome back to Sports Day. I say David Wilde, Mark and Blight for Weeks. Discover a better way to build Weeks homes. Discover different. And also Tyre Power. Blighty, you buy 3, get 1 free on Kumho Tyres. Great deals. Brands you can trust. Stock take sale on now at Tyre Power. Nathan Buckley, end of an era.
Yep.
They ended up well. Collingwood with a nice win over the top-ranked Melbourne. We thought we'd find someone that played with him and knows Nathan. There a long while to talk about his career, both as a player and as a coach. And Alan Didak, a star in his own right. He's won a Copeland Trophy, a couple of All-Australians and a Premiership plan. He joins us now. Alan, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tell us about Bucks. We know he can polarise, if you like. He certainly did as a player. We know a lot of people, if you weren't a Collingwood fan, you didn't like him. But you played a lot with him, and he's been to the Collingwood for a long, long while.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, I was one of the lucky ones. I played with Bucks for about 10 years. He was just an amazing, amazing player. What you got with him. He was just so determined to be the best player in AFL, and he ended up being, one of the legends of the game. So,
was he one of the boys? I mean, he's so single-minded. A lot of people felt Bucks put Bucks first, and sometimes you have to do that to be so good. But was he in the inner clique there with you guys, or was he one of the different players?
Yeah, no, he was definitely one of the different ones. He always wanted to lead by example, and which he did his whole career on and off the field. There's no doubt at times, he let his hair down, especially, at the end of the season. But Bucks was really determined just to be the best player. What he did on the field he did off the field as well.
Now, you both came from a similar background, not so much with the Darwin bit, but Port Adelaide. So you both played at Port Adelaide as young players, and both of you are terrific. Obviously, got drafted from that system. Did you talk about your days at Port Adelaide with him?
Early days we did. Obviously, you know, he was a superstar at Port Adelaide as well. We spoke about it early days. Obviously, there's a lot of old tradition with the Magpies and very similar with Collingwood. So we didn't talk too much, obviously, later on in the career, but definitely early days.
With his, I must say that I was actually coaching Geelong at the time and tried to get him to come to Geelong. We thought we had a chance, but he ended up making up his mind. A few clubs were after him after the Brisbane experience, but him and his manager, Jeff Motley, spent some time with him. And anyhow, he eventually chose Collingwood. It was a big story at the time. He was going to be the highest paid player, regardless of where he went. It was a massive salary for those days.
It was huge, yeah. And I don't know if you remember, he actually signed with North Melbourne.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think Gabby Allen got him across to Collingwood on the day, or the day after we signed the contract. So he was always, like I said before, he was always destined to be a superstar. But obviously it was big news at the time, and I think he chose Collingwood probably over North Melbourne because it had a lot more tradition and obviously a bigger club.
Where do you rate Pendlebury with Bucks? Different type of player. Pendlebury just glides through, doesn't he? Just unbelievable with his basketball skills and now played so many games. Different type of players, but they're both probably in the top three or four in Collingwood's history if you look at their records.
Oh, no doubt. You know, I get asked this question a lot, and some of my old teammates were sort of torn between them. I'm a massive Pendlebury fan. I think it's just a bit more silky skilled, and but a lot of my mates think Bucks is probably the greatest player that Collingwood's ever produced. So, but if I had to pick one player, it would probably be Scotty Pendlebury.
Interesting you say that. I mean, I love them both. I love Pendlebury enormously. Nathan always felt, actually, because of his great kicking and great depth, I reckon he actually belted the ball to a lot of teammates, whereas Pendlebury, he'll drift it to the... You know, I always felt...
Perfectly weighted.
Yeah, I mean, I know. I've known Nathan since he was a baby, so I always thought he actually just belted the ball a bit too often because of his beautiful kicking style, whereas, as I mentioned, Pendlebury actually learnt how to kick it to a teammate, not at him.
Yeah, that's right, and I think as Bucks got a bit older, he tried to implement into his game. Once you see, you know, you see Pendles, the way he moves and the way he reads the play is always, you know, two or three steps in front of the opposition. And as a forward, I used to love leading towards him because he just loop it up and put it in the right position.
Yeah.
What about as a coach? They reckon he's mellowed over the last few years. Once again, that single-minded, it wasn't very flexible, if you like. Did you have, you've had 1 year under Bucks, would you? Is that the two?
I had one or two. I think I had 2 years under Bucks.
Yeah, you did
two. Yeah, I did. And look, Bucks was a completely different coach at the end of his career compared to the start of his career. He was pretty raw. You know, people don't, I don't know if they remember or if they know, he didn't have any AFL coaching experience. He wasn't even an assistant coach. He came straight out of the AIS under 16. And so he struggled early days to really communicate with the players and get your hand or try to get his hands on, you know, pretty much the right people in the caper. But it obviously takes time. And one thing he didn't do too well initially is work with the players. So it almost backfired early days, but you know, he learned his way and he learned to let you know, other people do their work, and he actually become a pretty good coach in the end.
He would have played with a lot of you guys. So you've come from Malthouse to Buckley. Was Mickey different? He was, you know, you could relate to Michael Malthouse a bit different?
Oh, no doubt. You're talking about one person who's had 35 years experience to a person who's within the system, a coaching system for 2 minutes. So I think if you've been in the system long enough, you learn to... understand players, relate to players and admin staff and footy department. Bucks never really had that chance initially. So you're talking about a guy who's been in the system for a long time, let other people do their work in terms of, you know, the fitness, the assistant coaching. He could relate to the players a lot better because he'd been there and done that. And it was he's a father figure to a lot of the players as well. So it's probably a bit easier for Mick to be
the coach that he wanted to be, and Bucks had to really find his feet pretty early days.
Yeah, you would have been around, obviously, when the handover happened and all the headlines that got when Nathan Buckley took over from Mick. It wasn't a great time at the club, was it? Because there was obviously animosity between people at the club. And you as players, you as players had to wear all that, didn't you?
Yeah, no, we did. It was a weird time. I think it was 2019 they did the deal. And at the time, it didn't seem too bad. But once we've become the team that we wanted to be, it was hard to really understand why the deal went through in the end. It's hard enough winning a premiership, and when you've got a good young side and you've already won one and you almost won in the second one back to back, it was just an awkward, weird feeling because half of the playing group wanted Mick to stay on, but the deal was done, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, it certainly was, wasn't it? I mean, it was a strange time in the football world. Just an observer looking back, you think, oh, geez, Mick had done a lot wrong. But all of us, now, just on the premiership, I mean, have you ever spoken to Nathan? I mean, obviously you know him pretty well. Have you spoken about him? I mean, it's a CV thing he hasn't got. Now, I don't reckon it detracts from a player. I mean, you're either a good player or not a good player. The fact you get lucky and timing's everything, you get to play in a premiership. Right. Did he ever talk about that as a player, that he missed out by the time you guys had actually held up the cup?
Not really. It all happened pretty quick in 2011 when he took over, or in the end of 2011. Didn't really talk about it too much, but there's no doubt, one of the missing pieces to his great career is obviously not winning a premiership. There's no doubt he really wanted to win a premiership, and you could see it. I think it might have been 2002 when he won the Norm Smith.
Yeah,
he took the medal off straight away. He was pretty upset about the whole situation. So there's no doubt that he would think about it from time to time. But like you said, it shouldn't take away from his great career.
Our guest is former Collingwood star Alan Didak for Kia. Kia Sorrento has just been crowned Drive Car of the Year. What about the upheaval today, Alan? What do you think? Eddie McGuire's gone, the board's in strife, the coach is gone. This is very un-Collingwood. It's all happened in the last basically 12 months.
Very, very unlike Collingwood. It's been a strange few months at the club, and to see Eddie go the way he did, and now Bucks, and there's obviously a bit of in-house fighting with the board, and Jeff Brown's trying to get a ticket together to take over. So it's very un-Collingwood like. I hope hope they can resolve it as quick as they can, because the players don't really deserve this. The club and the players and the fans want stability. So I really hope they can resolve it. It's not great for our club. I think we're the only club at the moment going through all this, and hopefully they can put an end to it soon.
Yeah, true. It's not great, is it? Now, Hall of Fame in 5 years' time, is a certainty for the Hall of Fame in 5 years' time. Somewhere down the track in 10, 5, 10, 15 or 20 years, do you think he could be a legend, one of the legends of the competition?
Oh, no doubt. You talk about the 2000, sort of that era, and you throw up the names like Boss, Ablett, Rusciuto and
Hurdy,
and Hurdy, and then you throw that name Buckley, and he sits very, very comfortably with all those players. So there's no doubt that he'll be a legend one day of the game. Yeah.
He'd hate the name Dom Sheed, I reckon. It cost him a premiership as a coach. Alan, what are you doing yourself now these days? I know you were involved with wine there for a while. What are you up to now?
Yeah, I was initially. I was in the wine business for a little bit, then realised how hard it was. Pretty competitive market. So one of my mentors, who was an old sponsor at Collingwood, he's got me into transport. So I've got my own little transport business now. I'm a transport broker, so I'm the middleman in the organisation, and I look after customers who need to transport their product all over Australia. So,
well done too. Yeah, I was in that industry for about 30 years, Alan. It's a great industry. I love it.
Better have a coffee, you two.
Yeah. It's good to see you doing well. I mean, no one's mentioned the Brat Pack. I'm going to mention them because I loved them. I love Swanee and Jono and all those.
Yeah. How many were in there? Was there five
cares?
Or six?
Jeez,
or?
They could all play.
There's really only four of us, but there's a few associates that hang around us a little bit.
Jeez, it was good fun, though. Jeez, you could all play, though. Gee, you're a wonderful team.
Yeah, no, it was. We were talking about it before. It was, you know, it's hard enough to win one, but I think, you know, we had a team that was, I think it was probably the youngest in AFL history to win a grand final, second youngest.
Second youngest in 97 Adelaide team. Like, that's right, yeah.
So we had an amazing side. We had a great connection. We had players that were a bit rough around the edges. We had players that were just straighty 180s. We had a really good connection in the club. We all respected each other. We had a bit of fun on and off the field. But one thing we could do is play footy. And just sad that obviously what happened with Nick and Bucks back then probably stopped us from winning another one.
Yep.
But look, I'll take one. I know how hard it is to win them, so I'm happy with one.
Alan, I said it many, many years ago, if you win one, you're a great team. If you win two, you're freaks. And if you win three or more, you're a miracle. Mm. And great, so you know what? Great's good. And I remember after Brisbane won their third, Jason Ekamanis got up on the dais and said, "See, Blighty, we were a miracle." You know, so, but it is too, isn't it? It's just you're a great team to win one, mate. They're so bloody hard to win.
And I actually played in five, so
yeah.
I'm grateful that I won one.
Absolutely.
Well, of course you did, yeah. Alan, thanks for that. Thanks for giving me an insight into Bucks, and great to speak with you once again.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Alan Didak, terrific little player too.
He's a left wonderful, kick goals. Smart.
Look at his resume. It's pretty good. Over 200 games, Copeland, All-Australian.
Absolutely.
And a beautiful kick for goal, Blighty, which you love. Anyone can kick a goal.
Yeah.
Bit of Dom Sheed in that, but I don't think Bucks would like to hear that name again. All that thanks to Lumo SA, Aussie-owned with energy plans and great local rewards made for Adelaide. Remember that name, Lumo. Back more shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento. Drive Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Bloody and World Sports Day SA. Alan Didak, one of the Brat Pack. Well done on bringing that up. I reckon that's, when Bucks came, obviously, they got their nose out of joint. Bucks tried to, you know, make a nice, clean start, and they weren't happy, the boys. But thanks to Weeks, they don't replicate. They create homes that transform lives. Weeks Homes Discover Different. They built one of my houses, Blighty. Weeks, very, very good.
Yep.
But this is the part you love. True or false for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. Away goes Malcolm.
Yeah, I've got one that might be interesting, is that Tex Walker will win the Coleman Medal.
Ooh. Where is he now?
Second.
Behind Harry Mackay?
Yep, only one.
Yeah, could. True-ish? Are we allowed to do true-ish or false-ish?
There's only one behind. Mackay's been injured, don't forget.
He's back this week. Yeah, just signed on for a couple more years. Yeah, true-ish,
Okay.
All right, another one on Taylor Walker. Taylor Walker's very lucky not to be suspended for the double-fisted punch on the back of the guy's head.
Yeah, going for the ball, was he?
Well, he couldn't get to the ball, so he just cracked the head.
So he got
double-hander.
He got 1,500.
No, 3,000.
No, 1,500 per fist.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So he's lucky not to be suspended, I suppose.
Yeah, he is. Okay, mine. I've just lost my spot. Here we are. Oh, Adelaide, the Adelaide Football Club, known as the Crows, could finish as high as ninth.
Well, they could.
Yeah,
they could, but I'll say that's false.
Oh, I don't want to write that down. False. Forever. I want to write that down.
They got away with it, as you said. Probably
accidental.
Both teams fell over the line. Whoever won, I mean, St Kilda were awful in that second half. Adelaide were awful in the first half. If they finished ninth, Matthew Nix will be coach of the year. Everyone had them bottom or bottom two.
That's the fifth coach of the year I've heard this year.
Not from me though.
No, not from you. It's Western Bulldogs.
And they haven't finished ninth yet either.
Yeah, Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, they're going all right. And Fremantle. No one thought they'd be
right. Goodwin's going all right.
Yeah, Melbourne's going all right. So there's five coaches of the year. Well done.
True or false, Ross Lyon will be coaching next year at AFL level.
Oh, gee, I reckon there's some truth in this, David.
Which club will it be?
I thought Carlton. But I must say, I don't know, because David Teague's got the job and I hate sacking coaches.
Why do they always go back to Ross Lyon? No one else on the...
Well, if you look at his record, it's pretty good.
It's not bad. It hasn't got a premiership, though.
Yeah, but anyway, to get some grand final. I mean, so, I reckon a coach, if you can get him to grand final...
You got Freo to a grand final.
Yeah.
And they had a pretty good team.
St Kilda.
St Kilda had a very good team.
Yeah, there you go.
He took over all your babies down the track, the ones you started with.
Yeah, that's right. Mine. Last one for me, true or false. Port Adelaide will finish top four.
I think that's true. As we discussed, earlier, I looked at their draw. I think they can win 8 of their next 9. Mm. Now, it doesn't always end like that. They could probably lose 3 or 4. But you look at their draw, and we'll go through game by game. I think they play their toughies, and they play the good team like Melbourne at home.
All right. Why don't we make a note tomorrow? Let's go through the Port Adelaide.
The round. In Adelaide.
And Adelaide.
We'll do the crystal ball stuff.
Crystal ball
Malcolm
tomorrow.
Malcolm Wright, David Wildey. One last one for you. Bucks, as we know, is out of the footy scene in a coaching capacity. Will he be employed by the AFL or in the media?
I've got a feeling if I was him, I'd take a year off, have a look at the survey, the situation, and get a job. He'll get a job easily in the media. He's a good performer. He speaks well. I would think that would be a real revitalisation for him.
To do media work?
Yes, to do media work. Because he needs to get, and this sounds, I don't mean this badly, he needs to get Collingwood out of his system.
Yeah, fair call. Get the range of confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. We're going to go straight from true or false to turn back Tuesday. Malcolm Blight's legendary moments. Local legends wanted. Search bowls clubs near me.
Yeah, the bowls clubs. Here we go, David. I thought you'd be interested in this. In 1909, representatives from England, Australia and South Africa, just those three countries, met at Lord's to form the Imperial Cricket Conference. Got that? Imperial Cricket Conference.
ICC.
Yes. It was changed its name and eventually became the International Cricket ICC in 1987. So the original one was just those countries.
Okay.
Now, in 1948, there was...
Not your best, but...
No, but hang on, I'm warming up.
Okay.
In 1948, there was a farewell Ashes tour for the first test in the second innings. A guy by the name of Don Bradman made how many runs on his farewell Ashes tour, second innings, first test?
Second innings, first test. 112?
Duck.
No, that was his last innings,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, same.
He made two ducks in the series.
Yeah.
Okay, thought it was a trick question there.
No, it wasn't. In 1955, Australia's highest ever test score, 8 for 758, was against the West Indies. Best ever score.
On this day,
in 1955.
That's not bad.
Listen to these. You'll know these names. All the old cricketers will know these names. You should know most of them. Colin McDonald, the opener, mate, 127.
The early opener.
Keith Miller, the all-rounder, 109. Neil Harvey made 204. R. Archer, 128, not as well known. And Richie Benaud, the leg spin at 121. There was a South Australian who opened the batting with Colin McDonald on that day.
I know who
8 for 758.
Les Favell.
Yeah, made a duck.
Duck, yeah. Well, Les used to go out there.
He was sitting there 3 days doing nothing.
Yeah, Les, what a wonderful man, wonderful player. Gee, he's been gone a long while now, though.
Yeah, he has, yeah. Met him a number
of times. Yeah, Les made naught out of 755. Oh, well.
And in 1955, on the same day, the International Olympic Committee voted Rome to run the Olympics in 1960. And who was the great miler that won? Undefeated he was at the...
Oh, not Zadok.
No.
Not Australian. Zadok. Ron Clark.
No, I play golf. He's a really nice man.
The miler.
Herb Elliott.
Oh, of course.
The great Herb Elliott. Never got beaten.
No,
and
course.
A fantastic bloke. I did say a bit of time on the golf course.
She was training the Sandhills, didn't he?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And in 1974, an American teenager won the French Women's Open. Who was the American teenager?
An American teenager, 1974, would have been Chris Evert.
Oh, you're very good. She won 7 there,
Chris
too.
Chris Evert, yeah.
What a player. And in 1975, hang on, I haven't finished yet. 1975, Bjorn Borg retained his French title. I just thought I'd throw that one in. And in 1997, a great year, 97. Do you remember what happened in 97?
Crows won the first of two.
Did they really?
Back to back.
Yeah, they, apparently it was well coached.
No, they did. They won
first
championship. Yeah, 1997. Wow. Simon Goodwin, first year.
Yeah, youngest ever team too.
Yeah, they were.
No, youngest games. In this year, on this day, Ernie Els won his second US Open. I thought I'd throw that in. Did he have the best swing? Does he have the best swing
easiest
in golf?
Easiest swing. They call him the Big Easy.
Yeah.
He hits at 300 metres just effortless.
I followed him at Huntingdale when the Australian Masters used to be played there. I got mesmerised by him. He was a very young player come out then. He ran second to a guy, I think by the name of Little Puffy Arms. I play golf with him too.
Okay. Ernie Els.
Craig Parry. Craig Parry was his name.
Popeye.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. 80 spinach and...
Yeah.
Had a good career too. Hey, that's it for us, Blighty. As always, enjoyed that. Spoke about a lot of things, covered a lot of different topics. All that for local legends. What are we talking about? Bowls. There's a Bowls Green just up the road near you. Search Bowls Clubs near me. We'll do it all again tomorrow. What are we going to go through? The Port draw and the
Adelaide
Crows draw.
Yeah, it's in my book for tomorrow.
And Aaron, you agree with me. Port Adelaide can win 8 of their next 9.
Okay, let's do it. Let's have a debate on that tomorrow.
You go home for dinner. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia, the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year, and Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.